Which of these?
Why don't we start, we'll just go back up a few verses when Lord Chaitanya is describing the opulences and spiritual potencies of Krishna, and then there's an awakening of love of Krishna within.
Opulence and sweetness of Krishna?
Right, chapter 21.
Oh, yeah.
We just finished the opulences. We started on the sweetness.
What verse are you?
99.
102.
99.
Translation only, Bengali.
Yeah, just the translation.
My dear Sanatan, the sweet...
99, right?
Oh, sorry, that's 102. My mistake. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing the opulences and spiritual potencies of Krishna in this way, there was an awakening of love of Krishna within him. His mind became immersed in the sweetness of conjugal love, and he quoted the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. How much do I go?
Well, as long as...
Do you feel like you want somebody else to read?
Feel free to read the Sanskrit verses. We don't want us to tackle the Bengali.
To exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his pastimes in the material world. Well, this is Uddhava. This form was wonderful even for him and was the supreme abode of the wealth of good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body. Parampadam bhushana bhushanangam. Lord Krishna has, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now elaborating. Lord Krishna has many pastimes. Oh, sorry. Purport. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.12. It's stated in a conversation between Vidura and Uddhava. Uddha thus begins his description of the pastimes of Sri Krishna in his form exhibited by Yogamaya. Text 101. Lord Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes as a human being are the best. His form as a human being is the supreme transcendental form. In this form, he's a cowherd boy. He carries a flute in his hand, and his youth is new. He is also an expert dancer. All this is just suitable for his pastimes as a human being. 102. My dear Sanatan, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. He attracts all living entities within the three worlds. 103. The transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by Lord Krishna's internal spiritual energy, which is a transformation of pure goodness. This jewel-like form is the most confidential treasure of the devotees. This form is manifested from Krishna's eternal pastimes. The wonderful form of Krishna is his personal feature, and his personal feature is so great that it attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Indeed, Krishna becomes very eager to taste it. Total beauty, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, and renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna. He is eternally situated in his opulences. Purport. Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, the Gokula Lila, are supreme. He also has pastimes in the Vaikunthas, the spiritual world, as Vasudev, Shankar, Dumna, and Aniruddha. In his pastimes in the spiritual sky, he lies down in the causal ocean, as Karna Vashai.
It's your sky. That's what I have.
In his pastime in the spiritual sky.
Since you have a material sky.
Really?
Really?
In his pastimes in the spiritual sky.
Sorry. Well, that's a significant error. This is BBT.
Well, let's see, is it? In his pastime in the spiritual sky, he lies down in the causal ocean. As Karna Navashai, the Purusha avatar, His incarnations as a fish, tortoise, and so on are called his causal incarnations. He incarnates in the modes of nature as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. He also incarnates as empowered living entities like Prithu and Vyas. The Supersoul is localized incarnation, and his all-pervasive aspect is the impersonal Brahman. So is it material or spiritual?
I always thought that Karna Ocean was not material, I thought.
In his pastimes in the spiritual sky, he lies down in the Karna Ocean, causal ocean. Of course, on one side is the spiritual, and the other side is the material.
Interesting.
How up to date is what you have?
When BPT first made their e-books, when was that? About 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
One was definitely later than the other. I don't know which one is which.
When we consider impartially all the unlimited pastimes of the Lord, we find that his pastimes as a human being on this planet, when he sports as a coward boy with a flute in his hands, and appears youthful and fresh like a ballet dancer, are pastimes and features that are never subjected to material laws and inebrieties. The wonderful beauty of Krishna is presented in the supreme planet Gokula, Goloka Vrindavan. Inferior to that is his representation in the spiritual sky, and inferior to that is his representation in the external energy, Devidam. A mere drop of Krishna's sweetness can drown these three worlds, Goloka Vrindavan, Haridam by Kuntaloka, and Devidam, the material world. Everywhere, Krishna's beauty merges everyone in the ecstasy of transcendental bliss. Actually, the activities of Yoga Maya are absent in the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets. She simply works in the supreme planet, Goloka Vrindavan. And she works to manifest the activities of Krishna when he descends to the material universe to please his innumerable devotees within the material world. Thus, a replica of the Goloka Vrindavan planet and the pastimes there is manifest on this planet and the specific tract of land, Boma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Dam on this planet.
Can I ask a question as long as you're here?
Because I just want to read that again. Actually, the activities of Yoga Maya are absent in the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets. What does that mean? Yoga Maya's? Not in the Vaikuntha planets. She simply works in the supreme planet.
I imagine what Prabhupada is saying is that the opulences of Krishna because are not covered to those who are in the like Vibhutis such as they are in Goloka. No?
Sort of in a qualified aspect, you're saying his human-like form, in terms of manifesting yoga, actually the activities of Yoga Maya are absent in the spiritual sky, meaning his activities of manifesting his human-like form, not no Yoga Maya.
That his divinity is not covered in the spiritual sky, whereas that his divinity is covered in Goloka Vrindavan. That's the point I was making.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one part of the function of the Yoga Maya. Yes. Yoga Maya also.
Yes, I think there must be an expansion of the Maya that works in Vaikuntha.
Yeah, which facilitates pastimes and so many other things. that goes on there. Mm-hmm.
So he must be referring to the Goloka Vrindavan Yogamaya.
Mm-hmm. Purnamasi.
We had a long discussion yesterday about Rupa Goswami's subtle point in Lagavagratamrita that Gokula is, in some ways, can be considered superior to Goloka.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, but my question was, when is Gokula referencing Goloka, and when is Gokula referencing Bama, Leela Bama Vrindavan? I don't know the distinction, because it's used.
It's used. The sort of terminology that's freely used. Rupa Goswami uses the term Gokula for Braj very often, not just, because technically even Gokula is Mahavan Gokula. But here it's generally used for Braj. And yeah, I was also, usually Gokula doesn't refer to the spiritual world, it refers to here. But sometimes it's a free use of just technology. The technology, terminology. I'm tired.
So what did you base your knowledge on that sometimes Gokula is superior to Goloka?
Just the contrast. Vishwanath gives that example that because of the contrast in the material world, the actual material existence and the beauty of Krishna's pastimes is more vibrant and more effulgent than they are in the already transcendental spiritual world. And he gives the example that when you put a jewel on a black cloth, it shines more than when you put it on a shiny cloth. So that Krishna's pastimes in the material world appear even more wonderful than in the spiritual world.
I use an example from Kavi Kanapur. The beginning of Ananda Vrindavan chapter, he says that Bama Vrindavan is sweeter because of Krishna's childhood pastimes. And also because he says, you know, he said that in the Goloka there's no killing of demons.
Yeah. But Sanatan doesn't say that.
And Bhagavad Gita also says like the demons in Goloka have spiritual forms.
Everybody has spiritual forms.
But I thought there was just rumors of demons in the world.
No. No, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is no, not a rumor.
Yeah, you gotta read Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Well, Rupa Goswami in Lagu gives four reasons. He says, it's very subtle though, because sometimes he interchanges Goloka and Gokula while saying that here are four reasons that you could consider why Gokula is superior. He says, the Iswaraness of Krishna and Gokula is packaged in a real sweet way. And so even the demigods are ignored by him, doesn't pay them any attention. And his pastimes, his sporting pastimes with the gopis and the gopas, and then he mentions the childhood pastimes. And flute playing, for some reason he says the flute playing is in Gokula.
It's sweeter here than there.
It's very subtle though, he doesn't like really hammer the point, but he just mentioned there was four reasons.
Hmm.
And what was the of his form? Or something, he says his form also.
Interesting, and no commentary.
That was a commentary.
Yeah. We can show it to you.
But anyone else comment on Lagu Bhagavatamritas?
Yes, it's Baladeva Jupasan's commentary. Uh-huh. Gopi Pranana is presenting Baladeva Jupasan's commentary.
It was definitely there. He read it to me last night.
Yeah. It's commonly accepted.
And how do I understand Kavi Kanapur's state?
Yeah.
Also. The demons, killing of demons, takes place only in Gokul.
To take place only on the earth. Well, I, and Prabhupada of course says there's no demons, spiritual. And,
it's gonna be a fucker.
Aren't they devotees playing the role of demons, or they're not really asuras in the, right?
My, is it about him? My take on it was similar to what happened, and Ananda Vrindavan Champu explains when the gopis enacted Krishna's pastimes in madness of separation. And those roles that were anukul to their bhav, they took. But demons, although it says that they enacted, but Kavi Kanapur says it was actually Yogamaya who took the forms of those demons, because the gopis can't be in a putana mood. So I hadn't read anything. Sanatana Goswami didn't elaborate who those demons are. But I sort of understood that in the spiritual world, you can't have anyone who's actually a demon. I mean, who lives a demon. Devotees can't be in the mood antagonistic to Krishna, because it's not anukulina Krishna anusulam. It doesn't fit into bhakti. So the only one is that Yogamaya actually manifests. It goes to Kamsa and Kaliya, and all of these, she manifests these forms in the same way she manifests those for fulfillment of Krishna's pastimes. And that's how there are. And that's why there are many verses where it says that Krishna is worshipped both by devotees and demons, or there he's worshipped by devotees and demons alike. You got any additional insight?
I look for it in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, and Rupa Goswami definitely mentions it. In that they're not demons as we conventionally think. I believe it. It says they have spiritual forms. That's all I can remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone must have spiritual forms in the spiritual world.
Yeah. So they're not demons. So why would Krishna kill him?
Well, there's no birth or death.
Leela. Because he wants to enjoy that sport.
But that's why I thought he descends. That's why I thought he descends.
But these are real demons. And that's why, not, in one sense, this is really more exciting, more of a contrast, because these are really inimical.
Which ones?
In the material world.
Yeah. Not always.
Meaning?
Vijay.
But they were inimical.
They were inimical, but they weren't really demons.
Well, in Lagu, Rupa goes through a big explanation to point out that only when Swami Bhagavan kills the demons, they actually become his associates. But with all the other avatars, it doesn't happen.
We just get liberation at most. Mm. Yeah, only Krishna.
But I thought Swami Bhagavan doesn't kill demons. I thought Vasudeva does
so the what?
But he also goes through a long explanation to say that it's the Vishnu within Krishna that kills them.
Yeah.
But still, the only way that they get to become Krishna's associates is if Krishna himself, in whatever way he does it. It doesn't happen with the other avatars.
Some food for thought.
But they were real. They lived in a very demoniac way. They did all kinds of things.
You talk about Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha.
Yeah.
Dantavatra.
Yeah.
Shishupal.
Yeah. They were for real. What happens in the spiritual world, that Sanatana doesn't get into in detail. But Kamsa again, did Kamsa then just sort of appear on the scene, or did he actually do all the same atrocities that he does here in the world? Did the devotees really suffer in the same way that they're suffering over there and being persecuted and Brahmins killed and cattle and so many other things? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I can't imagine. But there's a lot of things I can't imagine.
But it's Gop Kumar said the statement at the end, right? And he says, now when I come here or I go there, I can't tell the difference anymore, which is which. Which is the spiritual world, which is the material world.
And then there was an explanation somewhere in Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita how Krishna goes to Mathura to kill demons, but and he continuously does it. Again and again and again.
Yeah, and he comes back.
Yeah.
And then everyone forgets.
And everyone forgets.
Again.
And he goes again. But.
And he comes back, and then the news is that Kamsa is again imprisoned. Vasudeva and Devaki, and Krishna goes again to kill him.
Yeah. But.
And sometimes he doesn't go with a Krura, but he rides into the arena on the Kaliya, harnesses Kaliya, and he rides into the wrestling arena riding on Kaliya.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
there's so much variety.
Lava Bhagavatamrita gives some variety also, and I just don't remember precisely what it is, but does things differently sometimes.
Is it Brihad Bhagavatamrita or Lava Bhagavatamrita? Brihad Bhagavatamrita lists all the Varaha days. It's like 7 or 9 Varahas in one of the purports.
Lava, he talks about Varaha and Matsya, that the Bhagavatam, he says the Bhagavatam's merging. A whole string of them. So when the Bhagavatam is talking about Matsya or Varaha,
it's different appearances
with different activities, even killing different persons, but the Bhagavatam puts it into one.
Yeah, different colors.
Appear in different millenniums.
Mm.
Right?
Yes, different.
Yeah. All right.
Ornaments caress that body, but the transcendental body of Krishna is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments he wears. Therefore, Krishna's body is said to be the ornament of ornaments. Enhancing the wonderful beauty of Krishna is his three-curved style of standing. Above all these beautiful features, Krishna's eyes dance and move obliquely, acting like arrows to pierce the minds of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. When the arrow succeeds in hitting its target, their minds become agitated. Go ahead, Maharshi.
The beauty of Krishna's body is so attractive that it attracts not only the demigods and other living entities within this material world, but the personalities of the spiritual sky as well, including the Narayanas, who are expansions of Krishna's personality. The minds of the Narayanas are thus attracted by the beauty of Krishna's body. In addition, the goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, who are the wives of the Narayanas, and are the women described in the Vedas as most chaste, are also attracted by the wonderful beauty of Krishna. Favoring the gopis, Krishna rides on the chariots of their minds. And just to receive loving service from them, he attracts their minds like Cupid. Therefore, he is also called Madana Mohana, the attractor of Cupid. Cupid has 5 arrows, representing form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. Krishna is the owner of these 5 arrows. And with his Cupid-like beauty, he conquers the minds of the gopis, although they are very proud of their super excellent beauty. Becoming a new Cupid, Krishna attracts their minds and engages in the rasa dance. When Lord Krishna wanders in the forest of Vrindavan with his friends on an equal level, there are innumerable cows grazing. This is another of the Lord's blissful enjoyments. When he plays on his flute, all living entities, including trees, plants, animals, and human beings, tremble and are saturated with jubilation. Tears flow constantly from their eyes. Krishna wears a pearl necklace that appears like a chain of white ducks around his neck. The peacock feathers.
Here it says herons. Here it says herons.
Herons?
Herons. Yeah.
Buck. Buck is herons. Mukta hara bakpanti.
Bakasura was a heron?
Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, I'm just... Something's...
One of them is... If this is yours to be the latest, then... This is... These are... India BB team. Krishna wears a pearl necklace that appears like a chain of white ducks around his neck. The peacock feather in his hair appears like a rainbow, and his yellow garments appear like lightning in the sky. Krishna appears like a newly risen cloud, and the gopis appear like newly grown grains in the field. Constant rains of nectarian pastimes fall upon these newly grown grains, and it seems that the gopis are receiving beams of life from Krishna, exactly as grains receive life from the rains. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is full in all 6 opulences, including his attractive beauty, which engages him in conjugal love with the gopis. Such sweetness is the quintessence of his qualities. Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, has described these pastimes of Krishna throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing the description, the devotees become mad with love of God.
Stani, stani, in different places, Bhagavatam.
Stani, stani, shrutikatam.
Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyway.
Just as the women of Mathura ecstatically describe the fortune of the gopis of Vrindavan and the transcendental qualities of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the different mellows of Krishna and became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Grasping the hand of Sanatana Goswami, he recited the following verse.
Okay.
What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of the form of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of loveliness that is not to be equal to surpass. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and unique. Report this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, as spoken by the women of Mathura when they saw Krishna in the wrestling arena.
Which, amongst other things, signified that the rumors of Krishna and the gopis was already known in Mathura.
Rumors. The bodily beauty of Sri Krishna is like a wave in the ocean of eternal youth. And that great ocean is the whirlpool of the awakening of ecstatic love. The vibration of Krishna's flute is like a whirlwind in the flickering minds of the gopis are like straws and dry leaves. After they fall down in the whirlwind, they never rise again, but remain eternally at the lotus feet of Krishna.
It's amazing. Beautiful. For me, the most beautiful is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the original. When I read that, it was like this. No human being can write anything like this.
Fireworks?
Something.
What's the occasion?
Original TLC, that was the only thing I ever discussed directly with Prabhupada. I was going over. I agree, was editing of that and finding things he had left out. So I presented it to Prabhupada, thinking it would be a big deal, but he didn't take it as a big deal. He just...
What was it that you found?
Well, we all knew at that point in 1975 that Heidi Riva was had taken liberties, as we saw it, you know. Yes.
Edit out or edit in?
Edit out. It's like the latest TLC that will come out. Dravida went over and put everything back in that was missing. So I thought this was, you know, how can you do all this? I mean, I thought, wow, it's doing a great thing, you know.
By contrast, when 77 heard the verse from the Bhagavatam,
when he has said it,
just on this one word in Prabhupada, going and going and going.
Is that the one we went off in class? Don't be over intelligent?
No.
I'm trying to remember what was the particular incident that
they were. Was it Ramachandra? No.
It was Radhamala.
They were reading to him in Vrindavan.
I thought it was about Radhamala, wasn't it?
It's also about Radhamala, yeah. But that wasn't Radhamala, that was Jagannath Sutta, right?
No. At that time, it was Radhamala. Had already disintegrated basically by that time.
The Prabhupada's going on about the Jagannath, first comes Jagannath, and then from Krishna's, no problem.
Jagannath was good. So this must, are you sure it's 1977 or 76?
77. It's in the 77
days. He's talking about Jagannath?
First Prabhupada's the Jagannath, and tomorrow Krishna's Christmas, no problem, Jagannath Sutta.
Jagannath Sutta? No, Jagannath Sutta was a BTG editor, had nothing to do with the books.
So I thought also.
I'll look it
up. Although he became a demon later.
I'll look it up. I'll look it up, what it's, yeah, Prabhupada really lives in.
This is a version of Bhagavatam edited some years ago. Because right in 77, Jayadvaita had gone through the whole first canto and sent in a sheaf of corrections of Prabhupada. And I know because I got the whole thing back from Prabhupada on my desk, all Jayadvaita's corrections, and just a letter from Prabhupada on it saying, whatever you do is all right with me.
Yeah, but it was when I was selfish to him that was particularly sudden, right? It was when I was selfish to him.
Yeah, they blew a meeting in the word for words.
Yeah, that would be really...
That's how I got to be officially production manager. I was unofficially production manager before, but then it became obvious that Radha Bala had faded.
I'll bring that down for tomorrow. It's, or you got it there, 77 talks.
Yeah, well, got it right here on my phone. If you know the day.
No, I'll just search. But put in Jagannath, 77. It's
No. I have the audio files.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Here, drink this nectar of Krishna's beauty. They never rise again, but remain eternally at the lotus feet of Krishna. It's beautiful how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does this throughout CC, where there's these Bhagavatam verses quoted, and then Lord Chaitanya just goes off, and it's beautiful. These are songs. Taranga Lavanya Shara. Tati Shri Abhata Bhavu Gama. Okay, sorry. Sakihe.
Oh, my dear friend, what severe austerities have the gopis performed to drink his transcendental beauty and sweetness through their eyes in complete fulfillment. Thus they glorify their births, bodies, and minds. The sweetness of Krishna's beauty enjoyed by the gopis is unparalleled. Nothing is equal to or greater than such ecstatic sweetness. Even the predominating deities of the Vaikuntha planets, the Narayanas, do not possess such sweetness. Indeed, none of the incarnations of Krishna up to Narayan possess such transcendental beauty. The vivid evidence in this regard is that the dearest consort of Narayana, the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by all chaste women, gave up everything in her desire to enjoy Krishna, being captivated by his unparalleled sweetness. Thus she took a great vow and underwent severe austerities.
It's interesting that that's said often by many people, but in commentaries on that said that this is not actually Lord Narayan's consort Lakshmi, but it's the Lakshmi Devi of the material world who bestows material opulence. It's an expansion.
She's the one that did the austerities.
Yeah. Over in Srivan, Vrindavan.
It was a conversation between Lord Chaitanya and
Venkatabhata. Yeah. He brings it up there also.
Yeah.
Is it in the purport or is it?
No, I was just recalling that that's where that reference is made of her performing. He uses that as an argument.
Yeah.
To try to defeat Venkatabhata.
As Jiva Goswami points out, that this is actually not that. Although the reference is that it's not the actual wife of Lord Narayan, not the Lakshmi Devi of the spiritual world, but it's in one of her expansions.
One of her expansions.
Yeah.
Is there any reason given why it couldn't be the wife of Narayan?
I can't remember.
Where is it mentioned?
Where? I'd have to look. There's probably Vishwanath mentions also.
Yeah, because this verse clearly states.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she is.
She is, because she's expansion.
Of, yeah. But it's more like it's the Lakshmi Devi, oh, I won't say the word demigod, although who's the bestower of material opulence to materialistic people who worship her. She's the Lakshmi Devi, who they have Lakshmi Puja here for.
The quintessence of Krishna's sweet bodily luster is so perfect. There is no perfection above it. He is the immutable mind of all transcendental qualities in his other manifestations and personal expansions. There is only a partial exhibition of such qualities. We understand all his personal expansions in this way. Both the gopis and Krishna are complete. The gopis' ecstatic love is like a mirror that becomes newer and newer in every moment and reflects Krishna's bodily luster and sweetness. Thus, competition increases. Since neither give up, their pastimes become newer and newer, and both sides constantly increase.
Listen to this.
This is so
Bengali. Gopi Baba Dharapana Nava Nava Kshane Kshana Tara Age Krishna Ramadhurya Don Hikara Huda Hudi Bade Mukha Nahi Mudi Nava Nava Don Hara Prachurya. This sounds so sweet.
This competition between the mirror and Krishna is stated in the fourth chapter about any of those. So remember, we read that.
Mm-hmm. You read it?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, prema, yes. Prema Darkana.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So competition never ends. But why does Krishna admit defeat?
He eternally admits defeat. Eternally admits defeat. He keeps trying.
But he can't figure it out as Krishna.
Huh?
He can't get to the bottom of it as Krishna.
That's why he has to come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
It's like he always plays dice and generally always loses, but he keeps coming back for more.
You know,
karma tapayog gyana vidhi bhakti japadhyana ihi haiti madhura dhura lava kevalaji raga margi bhaje krishna anuragi. Hare Krishna Madhurya Sulabha. The transcendental mellow generated from the dealings between the gopis and Krishna cannot be tasted by means of fruit of activity, yogic austerities, speculative knowledge, regulated devotion, service, mantra yoga, or meditation. The sweetness can be tasted only through the spontaneous love of liberated persons who chant the holy names with great ecstatic love. And it's in chapter 8 also, very similar train of thought, Ramananda Roy. Such ecstatic transactions between Krishna and the gopis are possible only in Vrindavan, which is full of the opulence of transcendental love. The form of Krishna is the original source of all transcendental qualities. It is like a mine of gems. The opulences belonging to all the personal expansions of Krishna are to be understood to be bestowed by Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the original source and shelter of everyone. Beauty, humility, mercy, merit, patience, and expert intelligence are all manifested in Krishna. But beside these, Krishna has other qualities like good behavior, mildness, and magnanimity. He also performs welfare activities for the whole world. All these qualities are not visible in expansions like Narayan. Purple. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that the qualities of beauty, humility, mercy, merit, patience, and expert intelligence are brilliant qualities. And when they are exhibited in the person of Narayan, one should know that they are bestowed upon Narayan by Krishna. Good behavior, mildness, and magnanimity are found only in Krishna. Only Krishna performs welfare activities for the whole world. Good behavior, mildness, and magnanimity are found only in Krishna. Mridu, Uvadanya, Shushila, why isn't good behavior, mildness, and magnanimity found in Lord Narayana?
Why?
Lord Narayana is certainly well behaved, mild, magnanimous. Found only in Krishna. Only Krishna performs welfare activities for the whole world.
So you're Prabhupada lecturing in Mayapur in 74. I'm on the unedited versions of 1974. He's saying, and people will be so grateful when Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement spreads throughout the world. They'll be so grateful. He told me.
He told me.
Yeah.
Prabhupada's
he told me.
It was a class?
Yeah. I played it back three times, but he told me everyone would be so grateful.
Well, I guess if you take magnanimity to mean Krishna prema, that certainly is not something of that welfare activity.
But I thought that Chaitanya, he manifests himself as Chaitanya. To be as being the most magnanimous, not as Krishna. Of course, he's Krishna. Mildness and good behavior. You generally don't think of Krishna. I mean,
shows good behavior in Vrindavan. You know, he carries those shoes of his father in his head, and he can act like a very nice, well-mannered village boy.
Is that type of thing Lord Narayana doesn't do? Carrying his father's shoes on his head. Take the dust of his mother on his head. But those type of intimate
neither
things which are based on something else other than servitude relationship.
Yeah, but neither does he have such mischievous childhood pastimes.
Yeah.
mild. Sometimes the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of Krishna's behavior as being mild. But in those rasas, certainly in those relationships, it's exclusive.
Exclusive?
To him. In other words, a mildness, a behavior, a magnanimity in the moods of friendship, parental, conjugal, those are just, if they're there, they're just there in portion in Lord Narayan.
Where is Krishna manifest in the full?
Where is Krishna manifest in the same? They're not visible in expansions like Lord Narayan. He manifests good behavior, mildness, magnanimity as Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, but not as a cowherd boy, not as a person. A person in terms of a human-like person. After seeing Krishna, various people criticize the blinking of their eyes. In Vrindavan, especially, all the gopis criticize Lord Brahma because of this defect in the eyes. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and explained them vividly, thus enjoying the taste of transcendental sweetness with great happiness. Yasyana namakaram kundala charu karana brajat kapova sivagam sugila saharsam nityotsavam natatripur drishvir pibantyo nāryo nārascha mudita kupita minyascha. All men and women were accustomed to enjoying the beauty of the shining face of Lord Krishna, as well as his shark-shaped earrings swinging on his ears, his beautiful features, his cheeks, and his playful smiles all combined to form a constant festival for the eyes, and the blinking of the eyes became obstacles that impeded one from seeing that beauty. For this reason, men and women became very angry at the Creator, Lord Brahma. This verse is Srimad Bhagavatam 9.24.65. And then further on, Atati Advaran Anikaranam Trutir Vayate Tvam Apashyatam Kutila Kuntalam Shim Kanchate Yada Udikshitam Pakshmakrit Disham. O Krishna, when you go to the forest during the day, we do not see your sweet face, which is surrounded by beautiful curly hair. Half a second becomes as long as an entire age for us. And we consider the Creator, who has put eyelids on the eyes we use for seeing you, to be simply a fool. This verse is spoken by the gopis in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.31.15.
Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is identical with the Vedic hymn known as the Kama Gayatri, which is composed of 24 and a half syllables. Those syllables are compared to moons that arise in Krishna. Thus all three worlds are filled with desire. The face of Krishna is the king of the moons. And the body of Krishna is the throne. Thus the king governs a society of moons. Purport. Krishna's face is considered the king of moons, and his body is considered the throne. All the other chandras, moons, are considered to be subordinate moons. His left cheek is a moon, and his right cheek is a moon. His forehead is considered a half moon. The spot of sandalwood pulpa on the forehead is considered a moon, and his fingernails and toenails are also different moons. Krishna has two cheeks, that shine like glowing gems. Both are considered full moons. His forehead is considered a half moon, and the spot of sandalwood there is considered a full moon. His fingernails are many full moons, and they dance on the flute in his hands. Their song is the melody of that flute. His toenails are also many full moons, and they dance on the ground. Their song is the jingling of his ankle bells. Krishna's face is the enjoyer king. That full moon face makes his shark-shaped earrings and lotus eyes dance. His eyebrows are like bows, and his eyes are like arrows. His ears are fixed on the string of that bow, and when his eyes spread to his ears, he pierces the hearts of the gopis. The dancing features of his face surpass all other full moons and expand the marketplace of full moons. Although priceless, the nectar of Krishna's face is distributed to everyone. Some purchase the moon rays of his sweet smiles, and others purchase the nectar of his lips. Thus, he pleases everyone.
Some will purchase the moon rays. I should think one is, I remember that one is, I just have one upstairs or something. One is the cowherd boy's sweet smiles, and the nectar of his lips is the gopis. Remember that somewhere else also the series, someone else's embrace, and that's the parent. I'll just be back in a second. Sorry?
Well, we're almost finished the chapter. He's coming back. Might as well. Should we wait?
Let's wait.
What are we going to do when we finish the chapter?
I don't know.
What? Anjalila chapter 20.
Chapter 20, is that success?
Yes.
Fine with me. What did you decide about tomorrow morning?
Oh, you're going out early in the morning. Yeah. It may not work for me because my stomach is gradually settling and sometimes things are unpredictable in the morning. So.
Oh, I see. No, I meant, did you want to go to Surabhi Kunj?
Oh, I thought you said you were going tomorrow. I go just tomorrow.
I'm just taking a walk in the morning, that's all. This morning I walked to Jagannath Temple, took a rickshaw back, and I was back by 7:30.
How kind of a walk is that?
It took about 45 minutes to an hour.
So you're asking about going to Bhaktivinoda Thakura's later?
If you wanted to, I was ready to do it, yeah.
Which one is, I get confused, there's two places, one...
There's Surabhi Kunj, and then there's his, what is it? It's his house. I forget what it's called. It's where his bhajan kutir is, isn't it? Surabhi Kunj. And then across, just down the road, was his bhajan kutir, wasn't it?
Pardon?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Surabhi Kunj. And then down the road is Namhata. I mean, Surabhi Kunj, pardon. You mean his house?
There's two there. One is his house. I think. We stayed, but that's his bhajan kutir, isn't it? I thought that was his bhajan kutir.
Surabhi Kunj.
Surabhi Kunj is his bhajan kutir.
Yeah.
Where's the one where they're building the temple? What was
it? I thought that was Surabhi Kunj.
Surabhi Kunj.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
How will we get there?
Kubai Bo. We want to.
They're very nice. We'll even arrange lunch if we want.
Are you going to go?
I thought you weren't going to go.
Oh, tomorrow it's happening.
Well, no, we were discussing.
I can't.
We could go on Sunday.
I can't. I have to wait.
What about Sunday?
Provided that they come tomorrow and they don't postpone it till Sunday. It was supposed to be happening today.
To measure his windows.
Go. Go tomorrow. Don't put it off. If I'm lucky, it'll come early, but it's highly unlikely.
We can wait till Sunday.
Well, what happens if it is?
Yeah, because I'm going for a walk in the morning anyways to Mara Gupta's house. This morning I walked to Jagannath Temple.
You walked back here?
Yeah, so nice. It was such a nice walk.
We walked all the way up to the turn, to the left turn. How far is it from the left turn?
From the left turn?
Well, you walk out.
We walked out all the way down here, and then we took a right. And then we walked through that village, and then we took a left.
Right.
Yeah, took a right.
Left a little bit, and so after that.
Everything was left.
No, right.
Huh?
Right, we went right.
You walked out to Rasamrita?
Walked out to Rasamrita, took a left.
Took a left.
Walked all the way down to the main road, took a right.
Oh, so you didn't make the left turn?
No.
Uh-huh. You keep going past that.
Yeah.
My knees are in bad shape for some reason. I was inching my way.
How long is it? Oh, 25 minutes?
It was quite fast. It was beautiful.
It's a beautiful walk.
Beautiful walk.
I mean,
Muslim village is a beautiful walk.
While we're waiting for Mars to get ready to go to Sarabi
Kunj,
whatever
day
that.
Oh, so fantastic.
I chanted my best japa this morning on that walk.
Yeah.
I was just, the weather was perfect. Yeah. Wasn't
it? Oh, it's beautiful. This evening I went out at 4, came back at 5:30. I walked all the way down, at least I walked all the way down to the left turn. I thought it was the left turn. You went out all the way to the main road. You go straight, keep going straight.
Yeah, it goes all the way to the main road if you take a left. Yeah.
So you go out the gate, you turn left, and then?
Just continue going along the Jalangi, and then the paved road goes a little bit to the left, and then it comes out to this main road. I can't remember what the road is. It's not the main road. But you take a right there. But we probably, tomorrow we're going to go to Mara Gupta, so we may go left instead of right. But still nice.
Yeah, beautiful. And you walk back or you roll back?
We roll back, I make sure.
Mara Gupta is further?
No, closer.
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 What time? At least
six.
I'll see. Six if I can.
Yeah, it's a really nice walk. I was Gita, this devotee Gita Narayan. You know Gita Narayan?
Yes.
Yeah, he stopped by get me. I still remember him as, I forget what his common name is. He came roller skating. He used to come roller skating to West 55th Street all the time. He was a bhakti in my bhakti program.
If you go to Sarabha Kunj, just take harmonium and sing Bolo Sukhe Kavagan, Bolo Sukhe Kavagan.
That's why we're waiting for you when you're able to go.
He's the one who's going to play it, right?
Yeah, that's what we did last year.
Sarabha Kunj Ete
Namay Kriche Kodita
Kavihada
Koda Nita. Merciful.
Yeah.
Merciful.
Merciful.
Someone unranked Koda Nita, isn't
it? It's his
disciple. I asked him, local devotees, Koda, because is similar like in Turkish language, Khuda. Khuda is Allah, Khuda is Lord. And I ask what the word is. They said, yeah, Khuda means, Khuda means, say Lord in Thai.
Says what?
Lord.
Lord.
Lord, Lord in Thai. Khuda.
I was thought merciful.
Yeah, Lord is merciful.
Okay. If by devotional service one gets the results of pious activities and sees Lord Krishna's face, what can he relish with only two eyes? His greed and thirst increase twofold by seeing the nectarian face of Krishna. Due to his inability to sufficiently drink that nectar, he becomes very unhappy and criticizes the Creator for not having given more than two eyes. When the onlooker of Krishna's face becomes dissatisfied in this way, he thinks, why didn't the Creator give me thousands and millions of eyes? Why is he giving me only two? Even these two eyes are disturbed by blinking, which keeps me from continuously seeing Krishna's face. Thus, one accuses the Creator of being dry and tasteless due to engaging in severe austerities. The Creator is only a dry manufacturer. He does not know how to create and set things in their proper places.
The Creator says, let those who will see Krishna's beautiful face have two eyes. Just see the lack of consideration exhibited by this person posing as a creator. If the Creator took my advice, he would give millions of eyes to the person who intends to see Sri Krishna's face. If the Creator will accept this advice, then I will say that he is competent in his work. The transcendental form of Lord Sri Krishna is compared to an ocean. A particularly extraordinary vision. Well, in that sense, I guess Indra was fortunate, but he didn't seem to make the best of his good fortune.
Because he's got, because lots, all the ice.
He's got lots of ice. The transcendental form of Lord Sri Krishna is compared to an ocean. A particularly extraordinary vision is the moon above that ocean, Sri Krishna's face. And an even more extraordinary vision is his smile, which is sweeter than sweet and is like shining beams of moonlight. While speaking of these things with Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to remember one thing after another. Moving his hands in ecstasy, he recited a verse. Madhuram madhuram bhavarasya vibho madhuram madhuram vadanam madhuram madhugandhi vidusmitame tadaho madhuram 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 madhuram. O my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet. His face is even sweeter than his body. But his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. This verse is quoted from Krishna Pranamita by Guru Mangal Thakur. My dear Sanatana, the sweetness of Krishna's personality is just like an ocean of ambrosia. Although my mind is now afflicted by convulsive diseases, and I wish to drink that entire ocean, the repressive physician does not allow me to drink even one drop. Good Lord. When there is a combination of kapha, pitta, and vayu, the three bodily elements, there occurs sanipati, or convulsive disease. Lord Chaitanya said, this disease of mine is caused by the personal features of Lord Krishna. The three elements are the beauty of Krishna's body, the beauty of his face, and the beauty of his smile. Stricken by these three beauties, my mind goes into convulsions. It wishes to drink the ocean of Krishna's beauty. But because I am undergoing convulsions, my physician, who is Sri Krishna himself,
does not even allow me to take a drop of water from that ocean. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatic in this way because he was presenting himself in the mood of the gopis. The gopis wanted to drink the ocean of sweetness arising from the bodily features of Krishna, but Krishna did not allow them to come near. Consequently, their desire to meet Krishna increased, and being unable to drink the ambrosia of Krishna's bodily features, they became very unhappy. Krishna's body is a city of attractive features, and it is sweeter than sweet. His face, which is like the moon, is sweeter still. And the supremely sweet, gentle smile on that moon-like face is like rays of moonshine, purple. The smile on Krishna's face, which is just like the smiling of the moon, generates greater and greater happiness for the gopis. The beauty of Krishna's smile is the sweetest feature of all. His smile is like a full moon that spreads its rays throughout the three worlds, Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual sky, and the Vaikunthas, and Devadana, the material world. Thus, Krishna's shining beauty spreads in all 10 directions. His slight, smiling, and fragrant illumination are compared to camphor, which enters the sweetness of his lips. That sweetness is transformed and enters into space as vibrations from the holes of his flute. The sound of Krishna's flute spreads in 4 directions. Even though Krishna vibrates his flute within this universe, its sound pierces the universal covering and goes to the spiritual sky. Thus the vibration enters the ears of all inhabitants. It especially enters Goloka Vrindavan Dham and attracts the minds of the young damsels of Brajbhumi, bringing them forcibly to where Krishna is present.
There's an answer to your question. That's what makes it superior, because not only is it manifest in Goloka, but it's manifested also here in Gokul, but even the residents of Goloka hear from Gokul.
What are the 4 directions? Previous verse talked about all 10 directions. Dashadik, here is Chodik. 4 directions. Why does the sound of the flute go in only 4 directions? This is Krishna's smile spreads throughout. Krishna's beauty spreads in all 10 directions, and Krishna's flute spreads in the 4 directions, the sound of the flute. And then it goes to Goloka Vrindavan, and it brings them to where Krishna is present. What is that name? Krishna's present here on earth. Which is not impossible, since they're in the upper Gaptan.
Bringing them forcibly to where Krishna's present.
Is he present here?
But he doesn't leave there when he's present here?
No. The vibration of Krishna's flute is very aggressive.
Yes, it's the best thing to do.
And it breaks the vows of all chaste women. Indeed, its vibration takes them forcibly from the laps of their husbands. The vibration of his flute attracts even the goddesses of fortune and the Vaikuntha planets, to say nothing of the poor damsels of Vrindavan. The vibration of his flute slackens the knots of their underwear, even in front of their husbands. Thus the gopis are forced to abandon their household duties and come before Lord Krishna. In this way, all social etiquette, shame, and fear are vanquished. The vibration of his flute causes all women to dance. the vibration of his flute is just like a bird that creates a nest within the ears of the gopis and always remains prominent there, not allowing any other sound to enter their ears. Indeed, the gopis cannot hear anything else, nor are they able to concentrate on anything else, not even to give a suitable reply. Such are the effects of the vibration of Lord Krishna's flute. Purport. The vibration of Krishna's flute is always prominent in the ears of the gopis. Naturally, they cannot hear anything else. Constant remembrance of the holy sound of Krishna's flute keeps them enlightened and enlivened, and they do not allow any other sound to enter their ears. Since their attention is fixed on Krishna, they cannot divert their minds to any other subject. Since their attention is fixed on Krishna's flute, they cannot divert their minds to any other subject. In other words, a devotee who has heard the sound of Krishna's flute forgets to talk or hear of any other subject. This vibration of Krishna's flute is represented by the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. A serious devotee of the Lord who chants and hears this transcendental vibration becomes so accustomed to it that he cannot divert his attention to any subject matter not related to Krishna's blissful characteristics and paraphernalia.
Resuming his external consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, "I have not spoken of what I intended. Lord Krishna is very merciful to you because by bewildering my mind, he has revealed his personal opulence and sweetness. He has caused you to hear all these things from me for your understanding." Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu admitted that he was speaking like a madman, which he should not have done for the understanding of those who are externally situated. Statements about Krishna's body, his characteristics, and his flute would appear like a madman's statements to a mundane person. It was actually a fact that Krishna wanted to reveal himself to Sanatana Goswami due to his specific mercy upon him. Some or other, Krishna explained himself and his flute to Sanatana Goswami through the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared as though mad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu admitted that he wanted to tell Sanatana Goswami something else, but somehow or other, in transcendental ecstasy, he spoke of a different subject matter. "Since I have become a madman, I am saying one thing instead of another. This is because I am being carried away by the waves of the nectarian ocean of Lord Krishna's transcendental sweetness." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then remained silent for a moment. Finally, adjusting things within his mind, he again spoke to Sanatana Goswami. "If anyone gets an opportunity to hear about the sweetness of Krishna in this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he will certainly be eligible to float in a transcendentally blissful ocean of love of God." Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunatha, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrated Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps, thus end the Bhakti Yoga purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, allegedly the 21st chapter, describing the blissful characteristics of Krishna.
Extraordinary.
What's that?
Extraordinary. Superlative. You have two sets?
Yes.
Okay. I have upstairs also.
We thought tomorrow, while you went upstairs, we were discussing reading Anshulila chapter 20 tomorrow.
Shukshamrit?
Yeah, Shikshastrit.
Shikshastrit. Right.
We read that in Talmud. Also.
We did. You always remember that.
Fantastic. Krishna's beauty. Some This is a flute, and the Prabhupada says, and the sound of the flute is in Mahamantra. Krishna's beauty can be tasted by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Do you remember in the 10th canto commentary how the three different reactions to the flute by the gopis when they're at home? Each one successively more intense. First, they were ones who dropped their duties, like take care of milk or household affairs like that. That was one level of intensity. Then the next level is dealing with their husbands, friends, or the babies, which are always their nephews. And then the maximum level of intensity involves dressing and getting everything all mixed up with the jewels. And so one of the acharyas is either Vishwanath, Jiva, or Sanatana, says that those there are three levels of intensity in terms of reactions of the flute. But the shuffling of the clothes and jewels, that's the maximum intensity level.
What about takes them from the laps of their husbands?
What about those who couldn't survive?
He puts the husbands in a category too. Husbands, friends, relatives, family members. But the maximum, he says, is clothes and the ornaments. That was related to the body and most close to you.
Whenever the Govinda Maharaj, Dubai, Wallace, the last place we went to was walked from Javad to Tekadama, Shishramadi, Ugantam. That's when Govinda Maharaj came through and we drove through, and I was curious what the village was. So I asked someone, this is Anjok, I can't remember what the bridge bus name is, but it's Anjavan, or that's when Krishna's calling Srimati Radharani, and she's just getting dressed like that, and she only puts kajal on one eye, and so when she arrives, Krishna puts it on the other.
Did Prabhupada use that example in his famous letter to Atreya Rishi of how they were even false in the spiritual world? Prabhupada talks about, he's in that famous letter to Atreya Rishi, where Prabhupada is talking about envy, and he was describing how the utopians are those who are impersonal, because they think there's, you know, that only perfection is without faults. He said, but actually, in the spiritual world, there are faults. And he said, one of the faults he gives is that even the gopis, when they get dressed to go see Krishna in the forest, they put on their clothes improperly. And another fault he gives is that when Krishna saw Radharani, he was started to milk a bull. Give another example too, I can't remember. Oh, he gave some other example of envy. And then Prabhupada was using that as an example. That we should not think that there'll be no faults in the society of devotees. He said, but devotees are the greatest amongst all because they give it everything up for Krishna.
What was this picture where they have a little gopis in it?
We asked the same question.
I was Tadakura told us it was Chandanyatra or something.
Chandanyatra, certainly, and the gopis are with sticks playing rasa dance, but seems like they've got additional little gopis in front.
Yeah.
Or is that the same Ashtasati in smaller forms?
Oh, no.
That's the same.
The six are only six.
What about one, two?
They're really, those are really beautiful roses.
Yes.
But these must be extra deities that they just bring out, like Mother Yashoda and so on. He certainly looks beautiful with the chandan. I really see his face better. It's a real science being able to put on the chandan so it doesn't pop out. You can't just stick it on.